The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Now I'm joined by Luke O'Neill, Professor of Biochemistry at Trinity College in Dublin. We have good news and bad news. The bad news is contained in a conference in Trinity College today. And bad news for women. Explain.
That's right. Big conference in Trinity. Cillian O'Farrelly, Lydia Lynch, my great colleagues, are organising an international conference. I've just come up from it. This guy's from Harvard, you know, all over the place. Sex differences in the immune system, how men and women have different immune systems. Now, it's important because 80% of autoimmune diseases are in women and 20% in men. And we've known this for years, by the way. Women are seven times more likely to get lupus, for instance. The question is, why is that? And it's their immune systems are slightly different.
And we'd love to know more. And the question is, why?
I mean, we don't know. Yeah, it's the X chromosome, partly. You know, women have two X chromosomes. One of them begins to misbehave, you might say, is one thing. I'm talking in an hour, actually, that the metabolism is slightly different in men and women, and that might feed into it. But it's a mystery, hence this three-day conference is going to discuss ideas and maybe new therapeutic approaches, of course, to correct this.
Well, now, if that's the bad news, the good news is that gene therapy has worked in some of the intractable problems that medicine encounters.
It has. It's remarkable in the last 2 weeks, two big studies on deafness and blindness. Now, it gets a bit biblical, but the deaf here and the blind see. They're using gene therapy now in deaf children and in blind children to restore hearing and to some extent vision. Now, we've had this for a few years, actually. There's been hints of this working.
Yeah.
But these two trials are really showing progress, which is tremendous.
Now, there were doctors in Shanghai and in Massachusetts, a Harvard teaching hospital.
Yep.
That have done this work. What do they do exactly?
So there were five children. You see, a lot of deafness is genetic. The children are born deaf because they've got a defective gene in the hearing process. And that was a really good one to go after using gene therapy. Can you correct that genetic defect? Because it's somewhat simple compared to other diseases. So they corrected a gene in these children. It's called OTIF. And they used an inactive virus, actually, was put into the kids'
an
ears.
Inactive virus.
You inactivate the virus, it can't infect you, but the virus smuggles in the correct gene because viruses are very good at carrying genes. And they were able to, the inactive virus could deliver the correct version of the gene into these children, and it was remarkable. So there was they are aged between 1 and 11, five kids. Two of them began dancing to music. There's a great video. Now, can you imagine? They were deaf and suddenly they could hear again. And then the trick was both ears were done. It was the first time ever. That's the left and right ear.
So they can tell where the sound is coming from.
Exactly.
Because with one ear, it's like mono in the old days.
That's exactly
before stereo.
Yeah, precisely. Yeah, and the one ear had worked a bit, but now we have this fantastic thing. And you wouldn't, if you watch the video, Pat, is tremendous of these kids suddenly can hear.
Now, how invasive is the therapy?
It's not too bad. It is. There's a couple of risks. And remember, it is experimental. So you've got to inject the thing into the ear, obviously, and that might cause an untoward effect. And then the immune response might kick off because it is a piece of a virus. But so far, this shows safe. Safety is really good in this as well, which is tremendous. And it's a big one, but there's 430 million people in the world who have some kind of deafness, 26 million from birth, and 60% is genetic. That's the sort of numbers we're talking about. Okay. So ultimately, this could benefit millions and millions
of
children.
So we're looking at 200 million people who could benefit from
this. Exactly.
Yeah. Does it have to be administered to the child? Or could you get it later in life?
Later in life as well. Because all you're doing is, you can imagine, in people with these genetic forms of deafness, there's a broken gene all through your life. Just correct the gene is what's happening here, really. And then the correct gene is put in.
Is it a single therapy or is it an ongoing therapy?
This was a single injection. And then within a week, they noticed the hearing began to come back. The progress was from a week on, basically. Now, they don't know. They may have to give repeat injections, potentially. But you never know. It could be one shot might work. You know.
Now, let's move on to blindness then.
Yeah, so again, and this is sort of a semi-Irish story, but there's a thing called retinitis pigmentosa, which is a genetic type of blindness. In Ireland, we were the first to find a defective gene. Pete Humphreys and James Farrar, my great colleagues in Trinity, found the first ever genetic basis for that. And then since there, they began it, and then loads of genes have been found. It's a condition called LCA, and again, a defective gene called CEP290 is broken in these kids, and they can't see. And the question is, can you correct that gene? And lo and behold, this trial
is it the same
it.
Technique using an inactivated
it's not
virus?
Interestingly not. Yeah, they're using CRISPR. Now, as you may remember, CRISPR was the big advance for genetic engineering. Jennifer Doudna and Emmanuel Charpentier discovered this way to correct genes using a thing called CRISPR. They're deploying it's a gene editing technology. So there's a defective gene. An editor goes in, corrects the script, as it were, and now you get the correct gene being
expressed.
How does
that actually work? I mean, you know, you're thinking of editing and going in with the scissors, cutting this bit out and then sticking another bit in. But that's You can't. You must be able to do it in a test tube.
It's kind of like that. Yeah, Dowden and Charpentier was first found in bacteria, actually. They could edit genes in this way. It's enzymes. Yeah. Just like scissors, exactly. If I go in and snip and then replace. Because all genes are this genetic code anyway, and you can correct the code, basically. And the big hope was CRISPR would be used for any disease that's genetic. And yet it's been tricky to get to work. It's taken, as ever, it takes years and years. And this is like what we call a proof of concept. If it works in this situation, it could work in other situations as well.
Okay, so what do they do? And how do they get children and their parents, perhaps, to agree to all of this?
Well, that was actually 14 people were on the trial, first of all. They selected these people out with this inherited retinal degeneration. Yeah, they gave them the injection. And then again, over the course of a few weeks, they began to look at test their vision, basically. And what I love this is that one woman said she was blind, remember, Pat?
Yeah.
3 months later, she could see Christmas tree lights twinkling. Now, can you imagine? You've been blind
for years.
And suddenly she could see these Christmas tree lights twinkling. Now, what they've all said is it isn't fully restoring vision. They can't read an eye chart, for example, but they can see food on a plate. And this woman who reported the twinkling Christmas tree, she could tell faces. Now, can you imagine? Isn't that tremendous? So in other words, it's a big step down the road towards restoring vision is the idea.
And then the question is whether or not other external aids like special spectacles might actually improve the natural improvement that comes about from CRISPR.
Precisely. In other words, as soon as you're restoring a bit of vision in the eye, can you enhance that using different techniques? And even better, I mean, the question is, why wasn't vision fully restored is one thing. Yeah. Now, they might use other genetic, there could be more than one gene is one idea, or correct other defects as well, combine with this, and then you might actually restore the vision fully in these people.
Once you've done the CRISPR and inserted the gene, does that last forever?
Well, that's the next question. Yeah, I mean, it does seem to you, the CRISPR approach, remember, you're just correcting a defect and the gene is now normal. In other words, you go back to being as if you haven't got a defective gene for vision. So the prediction with this one is it should be a one-shot treatment. And remember, both eyes need to be injected as well. Now, again, it's important, but it is still a bit experimental. The question is, would there be irritation here? But again, with these number of people that they've tested, it's safe, which is fantastic to see as well. So.
Here's a question. You know, when they take a DNA sample from your blood, it contains all your DNA. So the CRISPR, when it edits the gene and it goes in, that's got to go right through the body and start correcting that gene in every cell.
It would do that, yeah. But remember, the specific gene expression in your body, only the vision genes are in your eye, obviously enough.
Okay.
Even though your cells
and
are all
over.
And
do they inject it directly into the eye?
They do. That's the reason why deafness and blindness were used, actually, you can inject the thing where you want it
to
happen.
Straight.
It isn't in your bloodstream.
Yeah.
Obviously. So therefore, it's likely to be safer is the idea. That's why those particular diseases were chosen.
But you wonder,
first.
Can they do that thing you talked to me before about this, where they can address the location?
Well, that's the next challenge.
And, you know, just give you a shot in the arm and it'll find its way to the eye or find its way to the ear.
That's the ultimate dream, but actually, and the company I work with, as you know, that's exactly what they're doing. They're injecting little sort of vessels into the bloodstream that traffic through the body and go to exactly where you want it to go. And the reason that's useful, less side effects, hopefully,
for therapeutics,
more potency. Yeah. You can use a lower dose.
So if you've got a liver problem and there's a liver drug, it'll find its way to the liver and do the job
there. That's exactly right, yeah. And then only 250 people have been given CRISPR so far anyway worldwide. Some of them are in this trial, so it's still a very small number of people.
Will they have to multiply that before this gets the go-ahead for general use?
Well, you're getting these two studies are causing huge excitement in the drug industry as well, because it's proving that these are working. And that means drug companies are more likely now to get involved, because the risk is lower. Now, clearly, there'll be a question about cost of this. Now, the cost could be huge per patient, for instance. But the point is, of course, you're restoring hearing and vision in children, which is a tremendous goal. You know,
priceless.
Well, that's the next thing. And I have no doubt that this will galvanise increasingly now companies to get more involved.
What a fantastic set of discoveries. Luke, thank you very much for joining us. And when you go down to Trinity College now and explore the difference between men and women, beware, it's a very delicate area.
It certainly is. You've got to use your phraseology very carefully for this one.
Luke O'Neill, Professor of Biochemistry in Trinity College in Dublin, thank you very much for joining us. And don't forget, Luke, you're sharing your life and times with Kieran Cuddy on the Heart Shoulder this afternoon.
I am. With Kieran, yeah.
The Thursday interview.
He's interviewing me. They must be very hard up, Pat. They're interviewing us News
All
Talk people.
All will be revealed.
The Pat Kenny Show.
With Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.